Welcome to Facts Roundtable, a podcast dedicated to navigating life with food allergies across the lifespan, presented in a welcoming format with interviews and open discussions. Each episode will explore a specific topic, leaving you with the facts to know or use. Information presented via this podcast is educational and not intended to provide individual medical advice. Please consult with your personal board-certified allergist or healthcare providers for advice specific to your situation. Hi, everyone. I'm Caroline Mwasisi, and I'm your host for the Facts Roundtable podcast. I'm a food allergy parent, advocate, and the founder of the Grateful Foodie blog. We're speaking with the founder of No Nut Traveler, Leanne Mandelbaum, to learn about the latest news in airline food allergy advocacy and how COVID-19 might impact the future of flying with food allergies. Welcome, Leanne, to the show today. I am so pleased to have you. I've known you for so long, so I was really excited for this interview.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here. I can't wait to have our chat.
Excellent. Well, we're going to jump right in. So, Leanne, I met you right after you started No Nut Traveler. Since then, so much has happened, but I think we have a lot of listeners out there who might not be familiar with No Nut Traveler. So can you give them the details of why you started No Nut Traveler and then where we are today?
Sure. I was coming home from a family vacation, sitting in an airport. Someone was sitting behind me. And I was explaining to my son, who was 8 at the time, who has a life-threatening peanut allergy, that he couldn't go into Rocky Mountain Fudge Store because they were literally making fresh batches of peanut butter fudge that day. And the woman behind me turned around and she asked, you know, is your son allergic to peanuts? And I said, yes, he has an anaphylactic allergy. And she said, well, you better move. We're all going to be eating peanuts here. And I really appreciated the warning. It is the departure lounge. There was plenty of other space. So we moved. And it really wasn't a big deal until her 3 children followed us, started throwing peanuts up in the air, missing them in their mouths on purpose, crushing them underfoot and trying to push the dust towards my son and laughing when he got scared. And so I was still very, very calm. And I went back over to the mom, who clearly wasn't doing anything. And I said, are you on the Newark bound flight? And sure enough, she was on our flight. So then I'm starting to get alarmed because, you know, it's one thing to be able to walk away in the departure lounge. It's another thing to be up in the air and they decide to go to the bathroom and on the way back, just dump a can of peanuts on his head. You know, this was not behavior that was, you know, I felt was a safe environment for him. So I asked the crew for an announcement and the person I had spoken to at the desk where you check in had said, we're going to have to check with the crew. And, you know, my son is right there on my leg and he's looking cute. And I'm thinking, okay, nobody's going to say anything, you know, other than, yes, of course, we'll make an announcement to keep your child safe in the air. And they came back and they said, I'm sorry, this crew has refused to make an announcement. And I said, well, can I ask them why? And they said, no, you're not allowed to do that. I'm like, can you tell me why? No, I don't have to do that. And so then I went to the customer service line and I stood there for like 20 minutes. I get to the end and the person said to me, I'm sorry, ma'am, this is not a customer service issue. And I'm like, okay, if this is not a customer service issue, what is a customer service issue? And I asked to speak to a manager and I went up the chain of command in Denver and the last manager looked at me and looked at Josh and said, well, if you think he's going to die, just don't get on the plane. At which point, Josh, who had never been scared about his food allergy, always carried an auto injector, was not fearful, became hysterical and said, I'm 8. I have my whole life ahead of me. Please don't put me on the plane. The man said I could die. He used the word die. You can't put me on the plane. And so we didn't get on that plane. And when I got home, I decided they hadn't seen the last of me. And when I did some research and called up some organizations, nobody was really focusing solely on the airline issue. And I decided, okay, I'm going to have to create the inroads myself. And I did. And I literally have like this piece of scrap paper, which I still have at home, with like a drawing out of what I wanted. I wanted a website and I wanted a place where people could like share their story so other people could learn. I wanted a petition, which is still going, but now it has over 90,000 signatures. I don't put that much weight into the petition, by the way, even though it's a big number, because that's not what's going to affect change, in my opinion. But I wanted it there. Nonetheless, it is a statistic. It is a metric. It is something we can point to that people are concerned about this. And I wanted a home to share. Also, I wanted a place where people could share their stories to the DOT as well, that not just to me, but that they could quickly file a complaint wherever they were. So I got it up and running in a couple of weeks, and it has evolved. And I did meet you right after those first few weeks, and you were one of the most supportive, how can I lift you up advocates along the way. So if I know I feel gratitude, but I do. I feel tremendous gratitude to the community for supporting this.
Thank you, Leanne. So, you know, I have to say, as a parent sitting here listening to the story in such great detail, I was absolutely horrified of what you went through. And so I'm so sorry for that. But in the same breath, I have to say I'm not sorry, because you have started an entire movement now completely about the airline. So can you explain a little bit about the movement? So now what is the goal of No Nut Traveler, and what do you do?
It's really hasn't changed from the one mom writing on a sketch pad. It's still a home for people to share their experiences, because the one thing that has been consistent since day one and continues to plague food allergic travelers today is the inconsistency. Airlines are consistently inconsistent. That is the only consistency that I have seen throughout this process. And so it's really important to share the testimonials, because while just because I have a good story about American Airlines, for example, on my website, doesn't mean you should go fly American, because actually the majority of them are not positive. But when you see something like that, you see the flip with JetBlue, you see that mostly positive stories, you can make more informed decisions. You can also see what strategies people have used that has been helpful, and what words they have used that have turned into an escalation. And I think the times we're living in right now, that's really important to learn from other people's experiences, because you don't want things to escalate, because the airline crew can throw you off, and there aren't really ramifications for that crew unless you actually have something on video and it's completely egregious, which most people don't think to video. I mean, I thought to video my encounter, but most people don't. And so you want to be able to fly, and you want to be able to fly as safely as possible. So that part has not changed. We've gotten some rights along the way because of these testimonials. And that's why I'm going to harp back on these testimonials, because one of these testimonials was actually responsible for a DOT decision that now allows all food allergic passengers to pre-board an airline and clean and make sure their space is safe. So the hallmark of what I do is still collecting these testimonials, but we need to go past that. So now that we have the right to pre-board an airline, we also need to make sure that the crew is trained, because when you don't have education, you have two possible scenarios. You either don't get allowed to do the things that can make you safe on an airline, or you get thrown off because people think that a food allergy is so severe that you cannot possibly fly safely. So either side of those spectrums, the answer is education. So we need to educate flight crews. I can't tell you how many high-level airline personnel I have met that think that a food allergy is a runny nose. And they're not saying this because they're mean-spirited. They just don't know. And you cannot know what you don't know. We think everybody is up with us on the fifth floor, having used an epinephrine auto injector and know what to, you know, avoid and seeing product recalls. This person may never have encountered anyone with a food allergy their entire life. So how on earth would they know what is going on? So we need to address that bridge. And with that, we need to put auto injectors on all airlines, because food allergy is a growing epidemic. And it's a public health problem, and you need to have the right medication, because up in the air, you have much more limited resources. You're not going to get to that emergency room quickly, and you want to get in the medication that works and works fast. So that's still a huge goal and a hurdle that we have to overcome. And I think with the current crisis, that is going to be an even harder hurdle, but we can't give up on it either.
So you gather all these stories and testimonials, and then from those, it sounds like advocacy grows. But are there any official initiatives taking place right now?
No, there's really, I mean, we are we were really trying to, there was a coalition many years ago that tried to get a bill passed to put epinephrine on planes, and that is no longer in existence, and that bill never came to fruition. I hope one day that something like that will be formed again, because we need cohesiveness and we need everyone to come together on this issue, because it is a public safety issue. But at the moment, other than I do believe there is agreement amongst every large advocacy group and small advocacy group that epinephrine auto-injectors would be the best choice on planes, and of course education with that, but there's still no national movement or cohesive movement, and so that's why I'm still here. You know, I'd love that to be and either be part of it or be kicked to the curb because I'm no longer needed. That would be my greatest joy, to no longer be needed, to not have these stories, to have everybody fly safely.
I love that. Your biggest goal in life right now is to be kicked to the curb. I like that. I'd like to be kicked to the curb with you on that one. So now that we're in the middle of this COVID-19 pandemic, is there any relationship to what's happening on airlines right now in managing the pandemic that might cross over into managing food allergies on planes?
I think that's such an excellent and key question. And I think we have an opportunity here. I hope that people having, I understand it's not apples to apples. You know, clearly this life-threatening virus, it is an animal into itself. It's not that I'm comparing it to a food allergy. However, we can take some gems of knowledge out of this, meaning a small invisible particle can cause great harm. Well, that's very difficult for most people to understand. Oh, did you think I was talking about a food allergy? No, I was talking about the coronavirus. So therefore, you know, I think with that understanding can come a greater understanding of food allergies, not to put it on a parallel, but to glean greater understanding of what a risk could be. And simply wiping that area down for the food allergy person is enough. Clearly, that's not enough for this virus. But just getting an understanding of protecting other passengers, I think that concept is really, really important, because I have many testimonials of passengers and myself have experienced a man sitting next to me, behind me, with his son. And when they made that announcement on JetBlue not to eat peanuts in our row, because that is their policy, my son had his headphones on, so he didn't hear this. But the man behind us said, "So this whole frickin' plane has to suffer because one a-hole kid has a peanut allergy? They should just drive or stay home." And it's just like, it was mind-boggling. And the best thing was that JetBlue had that policy and that flight attendant had my back, so I didn't have to escalate. In fact, had I escalated, I would probably have been thrown off the plane, right? Because this man would have gone crazy. And so it wasn't worth it. So I'm hoping situations like those go away, or at least are less, because people understand the concept of protecting the few. So maybe don't eat that sandwich right next to me, right? You know, like, because you care for your fellow human being. I'm hoping that this crisis has brought this out. The one thing that is for sure is that the planes are cleaner. I'm not saying you shouldn't still pre-board and clean your area, because of course nobody's going to do as thorough of a job as you. And I will tell you, even on JetBlue, which doesn't serve peanuts and we usually choose to fly, I have cleaned up many a peanut on a pre-board. And so I think it still would behoove you to get on a plane early and clean. But I'm going to say that they're much cleaner now. These planes were not clean. These planes were filthy. I mean, you know, on social media, you see the pictures of the peanuts under the seat and cheese puffs all over the place. Every allergen possible is like around you on that plane. And so those kind of worries are kind of less. Of course, I don't know how many people are traveling, but the thing to note, and this was before COVID and now, is that there are some people who have to fly for whatever reason, whether it's medical treatment, whether it's to see a dying or ailing relative, whatever the case may be, is there are people that need to fly. So we still need to concentrate on making the sky safe.
Do you think the airlines have changed their food allergy policy because of COVID? I know within schools, we're seeing policies shifting all over the place. Do you think any of that exists right now?
I don't even think food allergies are being considered. There's just so much unemployment, getting the planes off, getting passengers to wear masks. I think that if we had to be understanding before this, and we do have to be understanding, right? Because crews have so much more on their mind, even though we're consumed with the fact that we're going to be trapped in this metal tube and our child's allergen, or if you're an adult, your allergen may be around you. That's not what that flight attendant. You might just have to talk with a lot more patience, and I think even more patience now, because it's probably going to be the last thing they're thinking about. But that doesn't mean that once you talk about it, they won't be open and aware to helping you. But I do think we have to be very careful, especially in this contentious environment that we're all living in. Everybody's so stressed, and travel is so stress-inducing as it is. We have to be very careful and mindful of the words we choose when we do speak and ask for accommodations, because I think, especially in these times, it does have the potential to escalate and get someone thrown off a plane. And chances are, if you're traveling now, you need to.
Thank you for that good reminder of having patience and having some grace and courtesy regarding the stress levels. You're right, we're already elevated. So thank you for sharing that. Sana, what do you think listeners can do right now to support any sort of airline initiatives or airline advocacy?
Well, I think if you are traveling, sharing stories, because I've seen like a drop, gone. And I do see that some people are traveling. So it's still important to share those stories. It's still important to let your advocacy groups know that this is something that you are concerned with, because hopefully, you know, in some amount of time, we're going to have our world come back to normal, whatever the new, even if it's a new normal, it's still a global world. And even if we're not globally traveling everywhere internationally, we're still going to be traveling within the United States. And the same concerns are going to be there. The fact that you need to keep your environment safe and pre-board, the fact that you want to be able to tell people around you, the fact that you're hoping that people are educated. So working on that education piece and submitting your stories and being kind to the flight attendants when you do fly, because I think that it's the same thing, like, you know, they're doing a tough job and now it's even tougher. And so if someone has gone out of their way to make you feel safe, like, pay them the compliment, take the time, write in to the airline, share your story, if not with me, with somebody else who could give it attention. Because I think the more we focus on the positive, the more we're going to be able to see positive change. And I'm hoping this crisis, we emerge out of it kinder to anybody flying with any disability, and that we make it easier, because, you know, we need to lift each other up. It's not going to work if you have someone pulling you down.
Boy, I love that sentiment. We do need to lift each other up as a community. And like you said, when someone does something positive, really accentuating that. So thank you for that piece of advice. So now that you get to read lots of stories and testimonies submitted by people to you, is there any story that has really struck your mind and that has really stood out for you?
You know, I've been thinking about this, and it's funny. You're not going to think that the story I'm about to share is the most egregious, because it's not. I have stories of emergency plane landings. I have stories of, you know, people saying to a child, well, you didn't die on the way down here, without taking precautions, you won't die on the way back. And the kid is like five, right? You think I'd share one of those, even though I just gave you a glimpse of one. The story that sticks with me is there was a child from Long Island. They went to fly out of JFK. They were flying to visit an ailing grandparent. And it was, they were kicked off the plane for disclosing the allergy. And the next day, they flew out of LaGuardia, same airline, but hid the allergy, didn't tell the crew, didn't ask for any precautions. And it doesn't sound like the most egregious story, and it was the same airline, mind you. What I think about is that if we teach our kids to hide their food allergies, then as an adult, when they're traveling by themselves, and they are inadvertently exposed to an allergen, and they say, for example, pass out, nobody will know how to help them. And if you are fearful of disclosing what is a legitimate medical condition, terrible consequences, potentially fatal, can arise. And so we need to be able to reveal to a crew that, look, I have a food allergy. Here's my epinephrine auto-injectors if I pass out. I mean, how are they going to know to save you? How are they going to not know it's a heart attack? Whatever it is that goes on in the air. So to me, that was one of the saddest stories. And they wouldn't come forward. Like, I actually had a news station that was willing to, like, do an interview of this family because it was a heart-wrenching story. And the kid really thought it was their fault. And that's why they didn't want to traumatize the child by, like, telling the crew on the second flight. But to me, that child is now saying, I got to hide my food allergy, not only on a plane. Maybe I'm going to hide it, you know, when I'm out in college and I'm going out to, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to be ashamed. So I think we have to work on the shame factor. And I think that comes from within our community, because I hear that from people outside the community. And the worst is when I hear it inside the community, just shut your mouth, bring your own food, wipe down your area and fly. Well, that's fine if everything goes according to plan. But if you, again, are inadvertently exposed and you have a reaction, you are left alone. And especially since we don't have auto injectors on planes, and actually we don't even know if we have the vials of epinephrine on planes. That's a whole other discussion. We could have a whole podcast on the fact that airlines actually have an exemption from carrying that medication, and nobody is a watchdog. So they may not even have the vials of epinephrine. How are you going to get treated? You know, if you pass out and you have epinephrine auto injectors in your backpack, but you're too ashamed to tell somebody that you have a food allergy, they don't know where it is. Right. So I think, to me, embarrassment is one of the worst things that I face. I've seen in stories, and that comes from kids and parents too. And look, we all hate confrontation, but we need to learn to use our voices as advocates for our children and for them into adulthood. I mean, I fast forward in my mind to adulthood all the time.
That is a really powerful story on so many levels, removing the stigma, being able to own and manage your condition, emergency response, a lot of layers there. So thank you for sharing that story. I can totally see why that is such a powerful story that stuck with you. So now, through your years as a no-net traveler, can you zero in on maybe your most proudest moment?
Definitely my proudest moment took place in a parking lot. I had just pulled out of, I think, physical therapy appointment, and Mary Vargas called me, and she's a disability rights attorney. She called to tell me that not only had the DOT ruled that food allergy passengers have the right to pre-board, that American Airlines had actually been warned, which was huge. And when she and I discussed this at the Food Allergy Bloggers Conference, like in the hallway, like in like huddled, you know, we were like in this like secret huddle outside the lectures that we were supposed to be attending. And I'm like, I'm seeing an uptick of people speaking about not being able to pre-board on American Airlines and literally being denied because they are, again, disclosing that they have this food allergy. And she's like, I think we can do something about this. And she told me all along, Leanne, this is a long shot. This is a long shot. This is a long shot. And, you know, I persisted and she persisted. And this decision changed the landscape for food allergy travelers, not just the United States, but any plane that's going to the United States or taking off from the United States. So, you know, we redefined the landscape in a way I never thought was possible. And I literally remember just sitting in my car and crying because I just couldn't believe that this had truly happened.
I remember that moment, and that was really exciting. And you deserve to sit in your car and cry. That was really special. And thank you for doing that. Thank you for your advocacy work. So, is there anything else you would like to add today that you think our listeners should hear about?
No, the only thing I thought I should have added earlier when you said, is there stuff still left to do? I think one of the other things we have to address is that most people think about peanuts and flying. And there's a history to that, right? There were the peanut fairs that I believe it was Southwest started, and it was a whole, you know, ad campaign and it took off. And for some reason, nuts in the first class experience, those are all tied together with flying. But there are so many other food allergies that people have to deal with when flying. And so we also need to get the education around the entire picture and not just focus on one allergen. Granted, that allergen deserves a lot of attention because it is the one that people associate with flying and tend to bring in their purse, but they don't necessarily just tend to bring peanuts. They could bring almonds. They could bring hazelnuts. They could bring, you know, nuts are that portable snack. So a lot of people think if we take peanuts off the plane, people are completely safe, but that does not help our friends with tree nut allergies. That does not help our friends with dairy allergies. That does not, and I'm not advocating we take all food off planes. There are plenty of people out there that do advocate that, but that's not realistic. That's not going to happen. So I'm not going to advocate for something that's not achievable, but we should have standard, fair food allergy policies that are evenly promulgated throughout the airline industry. So you don't face the consistent inconsistency and you don't fly one crew on the same airline and a different crew on the way back and get completely different treatment. It should be blanket across, I can't even think of the word, consistent. It should be consistent. I can't, if you can think of the word, help me out. And it should be a standard policy.
It should just be global.
I mean, the experience, yeah, a global as policy. Far as your food allergy goes, your experience should be the same from the moment you check your bag to picking it up. As far as your food allergy goes, I can't guarantee you that turbulence will be consistent on an airline or that your, you know, whatever it is will be the same. But the food allergy policy should be the same. Just like there's a no smoking policy on every plane, there should be consistent, because it's very different if you are a parent or a young adult flying and you try to tell people around you to be careful and take precautions. When that flight attendant says it, it's far more likely to be adhered to and you're less likely to get the flack. Like I said, there was that man who was completely rude, out of line, shows you why we need policies, lack of compassion. He was telling his 14-year-old son all about how he shouldn't be flying. I'm sitting there and I'm sitting there like with a clenched fist, but I'm like, don't say anything, don't say anything, don't say anything, because it wasn't going to help to say anything. Having an argument with someone who's in that state is not going to help, but having the policy, that's what helped. But that policy needs to be for all allergens and it needs to be across all airlines and it needs to be worldwide. And I can finish on that because that's so we have a lot of work to do. And I'm not going to be kicked to the curb anytime soon, as much as I would wish for it. But I don't think realistically that's going to happen.
Leanne, incredible words of wisdom. I think you're right. I agree with you on the policy. Schools are like that, right? When we have the policy in schools and the teacher enforces it, the whole classroom works better. I see the parallel of the airline industry as well. We have a global policy. We all follow it. The airline is the one who comes down and says, this is what we're doing. That takes away all those little skirmishes that we see videos on right. In the news of people, you know, going at each other on the airplane.
I mean, I have a dream. If you want to know what my dream is that you're waiting for your flight. How many texts do you get? Oh, sorry, we've changed gates. Oh, sorry, you know, we're leaving 10 minutes late. Why can't there be a text that says there's going to be someone on your plane that has X allergy? They're going to be in your row. Let you know a heads up so that you don't pack that exact food. And that would take away so much of the resentment. So to anybody out there who develops apps, I mean, I think the airlines are craving an app like this. This is just my opinion. But
all right, let's see. Any listeners, step up to the plate. You know how to find Leanne at No Nut Traveler. Well, Leanne, thank you for your time today. We really appreciate the conversation. We hope to have you back on the show again. But thank you and have a wonderful
day. You as well, Caroline.
Thank you all for listening to Facts Roundtable Podcast. Stay tuned for future episodes coming soon. Please subscribe, share, and review our podcast. And be sure to connect with us on social media. You can find us on Apple Podcast, iTunes, Google Podcast, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Have a great day, and always be kind to one another.